100% times so far. So as far as reaching out as a homeowner trying to get help has been frustrating as well. I am full support of being proactive in our community rather than reactive. I see the houses beginning to crumble that are in these areas that Mr. Rutledge and Mr. Barrow have talked about. It is alarming and nothing is stopping it. The other question I have, and this might be a little rambling, but this is important. Are storm and seawalls mandatory now with the county or with the state in new builds on Oceanside? And if not, is that one of the policies that we can squeeze in to change immediately?
Sharon, what I would like to do really in the interest of time today, could we address your answers in an email and perhaps share with everybody, but I think that to open it up to that, to the breadth of that kind of conversation, mm-hmm. would just extend our presentation time too much, but those are excellent questions. I hope that's acceptable.
That's very acceptable. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
This brings up so many more questions than it does answers.
Exactly.
And doing the fight, the right fight, the right way is not working for some of us residents and some of our condominium owners. So I'm all about trying to find a new way in order to find a solution to this problem.
And that is one of the reasons Chair Brower is here. So we're very appreciative of your interest in all that, Sharon. We will get back to you as a town to answer those questions, okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I, with Chair.
I'll just close with it.
Okay.
That was really good. I want her to know that I have watched this council, I've watched you go to Tallahassee to fight for your city for the exact problems we're talking about. You just mentioned all that you went through to try and get Coquina. We are all frustrated. I'm tired of being frustrated. That's why I'm here to say, I'll come alongside of you. I'll try and bring everybody from the county. Let's not go through another city. We could have saved homes between those two hurricanes if DEP would have moved, with simple solutions that we had. So I just don't want to go through it again. So thank you. And I
thank you.
Thank this commission for the work that you have already done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Comment, Lois.
Yes, please. Go ahead, of course.
It is very refreshing to listen to we're going to attack and take some action. I'm familiar, because of my daughter, what happens in South Carolina around Myrtle Beach. They have the exact same frustrations up there as here. So it's a problem all around the ocean front, all the way up. And whatever, we've been able to move mountains before, maybe we can move this mountain, and whatever help you need, by God, we'll find it somewhere. Thank you for starting it. Maybe we can end up with a solution.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bullard, for your contributions. Thank you. Okay, we are going to move forward now, and we're going to move forward on our agenda. Where we are at is at item 7, the consent agenda. There are three items on the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull an item? Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented. I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Item 8, there is no old new business preferred at the beginning. We have no items under 9, public hearings, nothing under item 10. Under item 11, we will begin with resolution 2024-13, authorizing the creation of a disaster recovery fund for a transfer of appropriation within the town's budget for fiscal year 2023-2024. Cliff, could you please read this by title only?
Yes, Mayor. It's a resolution 2024-13, read by title only, a resolution of the Town of Ponson, Florida, authorizing the creation of a disaster recovery fund, authorizing transfer of appropriations within the town's budget for fiscal year 2023-2024, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Mike, would you please begin our discussion?
Chief Scales is going to present this one.
Oh, Chief.
Good afternoon, Dan Scales, Fire Chief, Public Safety Director.
This is exactly what it is. It's the creation of a disaster recovery fund. We've talked about that a little bit in the past. Hopefully it's a fund we don't have to use, but history has shown us that due to our location, it's a possibility. Creating this fund does a few things for us. First, it shows a dedicated funding source to respond and recover to emergencies, natural and otherwise. The other thing that I think is of greater benefit or equal benefit is if we do have to use funds to respond to recover from an emergency, right now if there was a significant expenditure that had hit an operational budget, there may not be funding necessarily available in that particular budget. This gives us a pot of money, so to speak, to draw from for a significant expenditure, which is a big benefit that we don't have right now. The other thing is just accounting for reimbursement to the state and the federal government. There'll be an expenditure component to this fund as we expend funds to respond to or recover from disasters. They'll actually hit this expenditure. So when it comes time to get reimbursement from FEMA or the state or whatever, it's much, much more efficient, and it'll make that whole process much quicker. So we're requesting that we create this fund and that we transfer monies from the general fund reserve into this fund reserve as well. And with that, I'll answer any questions you might have.
Does anyone have any questions?
I'll
be first before Skip
this
time.
Please.
Do we have a limit of how much money in the fund or a minimum of how much has to stay in that fund?
No, there's no minimum, no.
Okay, any maximum?
No.
Okay, so we can create it as we wish.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah. And yes, then we only have one question. Will this be a restricted fund?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Thank you.
Are there any questions in the public? Yes, sir. Yes, you do. I'm sorry. Every time. And your address.
Steve Field, 6 Mars Old. How hard is it to get the money out of the general contingency fund?
Well, anyone want to respond? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, if it's an emergency, that's something that staff can do, but ordinarily transferring funds or money between funds requires approval by the town council.
So if he's talking about an emergency, so why can't we just draw it out of the general contingency? Why do we have to have a special contingency?
Well, this was actually This was discussed at previous meetings, the need to have a fund, a pot of money dedicated to this purpose. So this was something that was discussed by the council, so that's why we're proposing it.
Okay. It's also helpful from an accounting point of view for the emergencies themselves, because our staff goes through quite a bit of work to identify what is being spent and seek reimbursement. It's just cleaner this way, too. It's a savings account for the town.
Okay.
Are there any other questions from the public? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion, please. I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2024-13, authorizing the creation of a disaster recovery fund and a transfer of appropriations within the town budget of 23-24. Thank
you. Second.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Fritzke?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Member
Villanella?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
The motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. And now, 11B. This resolution is for adopting a proposed millage rate. And if, Cliff, you could please read the resolution by title only.
I sure can, as soon as I can get to the right page. Resolution 2024-14, read by title only, a resolution of the Town of Pinellas, Volusia County, Florida, adopting the proposed millage rate for the levying of ad valorem property taxes for municipal purposes on all taxable property within the town for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2024, and ending September 30, 2025, establishing the public hearing dates and times, providing for severability, providing for conflict and resolutions, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, this resolution is to adopt a proposed millage rate on the budget that this council reviewed at this past Tuesday's budget workshop. The proposed budget is a millage rate of 6.625, and which would produce $8,403,446 in ad valorem revenue at a 95% collection rate. Town's current millage rate is 6.2779, and the rollback rate is 5.8037. This proposed millage rate is 14.15% above the rollback rate. At a homesteaded property with a prior year value of $500,000 would pay a minimum of or maximum of $256 more in taxes next year at this millage rate. A non-homesteaded property at this millage rate would be paying an additional $505. Just so you know, this information is on the town's website. We have our presentation, our staff memo, and the draft budget itself on the website. Now, this resolution, as every year, this is a maximum millage rate. So once the council approves this rate, which it can at this meeting, you can adopt it or you can modify it. That is the maximum. So it cannot go up from here, but it can always go down between now and when the final budget is adopted at the two hearings that we have in September. So with that, I can answer any questions that you have. This resolution also does, just so you know, include the dates for those September meetings. The first one of those is September 4th at 6 p.m. That is the first reading of the tentative millage rate and the first reading of the adopted budget. The second meeting is at the regular council meeting date on September 9th, and that is also at 6 p.m. Those dates were selected because we have to pick a date that doesn't conflict with the budget hearings of other ordinances other organizations that show up on the tax bill. That's particularly the Volusia County Council and the Volusia County School Board. We have gotten confirmation of their dates just now. The county dates are September 3rd and 17th, and then the school board date is September 10th. So our dates would not conflict with those.
Mike, thank you. I just would like to say a few things before we open the discussion. The first is that the council has had the benefit of two special budget workshops, essential services, board review and recommendations for the budget items, cultural services recommendations, and staff has been working since the beginning of this year on our proposed budget. It's been hours and hours and hours of work seeking to ensure that the goals and the policies that have been set by the council, along with the services that our residents need and that our residents expect, are addressed in the budget. We have, beyond today, additional time to review the actual items in the budget. But for today, we have a proposed budget packet, and I know the council members have had the opportunity and have reviewed the packet. They've spoken with our manager, department heads, and have had the opportunity for concerns and questions to be addressed. There have been numerous opportunities for our residents as well and all members of the public to come to listen, to voice concerns, to be heard if they wish to be heard. And for today, we're asked for a proposed millage rate. It's not a final millage rate. So, with that, does any member of this council wish to speak on this proposed millage rate?
No, I totally agree with where we are.
Thank you.
Yes, just a clarification of what we were talking about earlier last week. So we can still consider the 6.7473, correct? With a vote of four?
Wait, what?
Can you hear you say that again, Joe?
So we still have the option of considering the 6.7473 as an option at this point in time.
Because At this point in time, we can consider it. Yes, at this point in time, we can, Joe.
Okay. Well, that's what my suggestion or recommendation would be, because we have the option of going down. If we settle at what the requested rate is, and we identify something over the next several weeks, I believe we'd be hard pressed to increase that rate. But we can always drop this rate down to the requested rate to balance the budget as presented by staff.
You are correct. You are correct with your understanding. And I believe, Bill, if I can, was that where you were at?
The 662, whatever number is, leaves six items out that the Essential Service Board had recommended. One of them being the fire department replacement cascade and the rear dryer. It doesn't sound like much, but as I've said this over the 12 years that I'm doing budgets, we made one mistake 1 year when we did not go to the high number. Every single budget, we've always been able to go significantly down. But if you put something that locks you in, you're stuck. So I still believe, as I said in the previous meeting, go and then lower. So you know where I stand.
Well, I want to make sure I know where you stand. So it's at 6.74.
Yes.
Joe is at 6.74. All right, Skip, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I was all set today to agree with what we talked about on Tuesday at 6.625. Even though I made it very clear that the current millage rate of 6.2779 was where my head was at. So I will need a lot more time to digest going to a 6.7 as a threshold because, again, the staff put together, and I want to make this comment, Michael, this that you put together, the PowerPoint that we got, was phenomenal.
Excellent.
I wish we had it 24 hours before and not just looking on the screen. So can I suggest next time that we get this before that meeting? I know it's a work in progress, brother. I do. And I know things are moving target. But I had six pages of items that I went through 2 hours with the council and many, many hours on my own looking at things that I thought possibly could be reduced. I didn't go through that whole scenario because of time, which I probably should have. That's my fault. And I made a comment about agreeing to the slide that had 6.2799, which totally goes against my business practices of agreeing to a slide or presentation that I've never seen before. So my bad again. But for me to agree to go to a 6.7 after saying I'm good right now with a 6.6250, and you guys did put together a plan that could take us down to the 6.2799, that would be painful. But your original budget, what the staff put together at the higher rate, to me, is where the threshold should be. Thank you.
So if I understand you correctly, 6.62 you would be comfortable with today?
Yes.
Okay.
6.2650. 6.6250.
Right, 6.6250.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, which is what, Gary, you had said you were comfortable with.
Yes, that's what we ended up with at the
right.
Tuesday meeting.
Exactly, but Bill and Joe are looking at 6.74. Bear in mind, either of those require at least four of us to agree. So I am going to ask, well, I guess I should first ask, do you wish to go higher?
I could go higher because I know every year, and I said it before, in my 14 budget cycles, we've always started higher. We've never ended up at the higher number.
Mm-hmm.
We always go down, but it gives us the flexibility to go over it again, get more discussion, and then we come up with something final. So if the two want to do it, I would support that.
What I would like to ask the council as a board, a body, is that I think that a unanimous decision today is significant. So I would like to know, Skip, how strong you feel about not moving to 6.74, given the items that Bill has identified that could be funded if we were to go to the 6.74, and again, bearing in mind that we have an expectation that it will be reduced before September.
And not to be bullheaded, Mayor, at all, and my apologies to the council. I can't do that. Okay. And again, based upon where I was at Tuesday compared to where I'm at today, and this is the budget that the council presented to us that we could live with, that made everyone happy, we could take it to 6.10 and say, you know, we want additional things. And I understand that we can go down, guys. I really do. And in this budgeting process compared to a private sector is so different. And I'm getting my arms around it. I really am. And I have put the work in to understand the reserves. And Steve, I'll share that with you on the sidewalk tomorrow, how reserves work. But I just can't. I can't.
Okay. Thank you, Skip. And then just a question then to Joe, Bill, and Gary then, is that with the understanding the budget would be, or rather the millage rate would be going down anyway, can you comfortably vote for 6.62 today so that we have a unanimous decision, which to me is an important message to the staff and to our residents?
I very honestly, at this point, do not feel comfortable going to the 662 until a point where Skip has got some items, line items that he says aren't necessary. I have six items that I feel are necessary because every single one of them helps every citizen in this entire town. I don't feel comfortable saying I'm going to lock in at the 662. Gary's got 14 years. This is my 12th or 13th year. I think it's my 13th. I don't know. But all I know is that when we give a number, we give that number with the understanding that we have 2 months from July to September for every single department to relook at every suggestion that is made at all of our previous two meetings, and then they sit down and put a legitimate number together, and it has never, ever, and I would not expect it to be this time at that higher level. It has gone two, three, sometimes one time it went down that I remember almost a full 0.5 mil down. I mean, so I don't like to lock people's hands when I know they're going to be going. They've heard us for two separate meetings what we want and what we don't want, and I don't want to tie their hands. I can't comfortably tie their hands.
Okay.
But if it takes a supermajority for that 6-6, I want to see what would happen in a motion and a vote. And then if it has to, then I would go back down. But
okay.
At this point, I don't feel comfortable locking people's hands and saying, I visualize, and I'm on my soapbox again, I visualize a town manager system, the exact same thing as a school system. You have a superintendent. You have an entire staff that puts everything together, and they work on the budget, and they play around with it. They do the firing. They do the hiring. They're doing, yes, we don't need this. No, we don't need this. And the only person that we have responsibility over is the firing or the hiring of the manager, as the school board has the ability to fire or hire or fire the superintendent of schools. You know, I trust them, and I've never not had to trust this staff. And that's why I know they will take every suggestion that Skip has, everything that everybody has said, and completely relook at the budget. And so right now, I want to see what the 6-7 comes up with. If the 6-7 doesn't make it, then I would have to go down to the 6-6.
Okay.
And Mayor, can I just, again, one easy, quick question, I promise. This is where I struggle with the process. Because if I'm willing to move up from 6-2, we'll round the numbers to keep it easy, to 6-6, and this is a budget that the town staff put together that they can live with, why are we going to put them through going back in, reworking a budget, moving it up to 6.7, and then we tear it back down again? I will vote on a 6.62 to approve the way it is. But why do we put them back through, going back through, raising it up to 6.7, putting more things back in just for us to take back out? I guess that's where I struggle with the process.
And Bill, can you address that?
And that's part of the process, because you have found things you felt aren't necessary.
Wait, could you talk in the mic?
I'm sorry. You found things that you feel aren't necessary. But we also have the Essential Services Board that put up six items that when you look at those items, we need that part-time person. We need that washer and dryer. We need to protect our staff. And those six items get...
And Bill, they were ranked, though. Yeah, and I'm not arguing with you.
I wholeheartedly agree with you with the golf
cart. But seriously, and we haven't even talked about the boat. I mean, the boat, we could take out that, plus we could take out a lot of overtime. And I'm going to let Mike or Dan address the fire truck, because Dan shared some great news with me earlier on a question that I continued to ask, and he has an answer for me today. So I guess my whole point is, if I'm willing to go up that far and say, I will approve that, and then we sit here and say, well, let's send them back and add some more, I can't.
Okay. It's appropriate now to, I believe, open it to the public. I'm sure some people have something they'd like to share. Yes. And I need your name and address again on the record.
Steve Field, 6 Mars Old.
Could you say it a little louder this time? I've missed your last name every single time.
Steve Field, 6 Mars Old. I guess you guys are talking percentages. I'd like to know what the increase in the base was and what 0.1% increase in dollars is. Dollars is much more important to me, interesting to me than percentage, because I don't know what it is.
So you're talking about the increase to the overall budget?
No, the increase to the overall base assessed values in this city of Pontiac. So how much did it increase this year?
Oh, the tax base. Yeah, that was I don't have that with it. I know it was 9%.
It went up 9%.
Yes.
So your budget could go up 9% from last year and hold the 6.297. Is that correct?
6.2779. You're talking about keeping the millage
6.3,
the same.
6.3. I thought it was. I don't know. Last year, whatever the millage was for last year, mm-hmm. If we kept the millage last year, we could increase our budget by 9%. Is that right? So you're asking for more than a 9% increase to the budget. Is that? Am I missing something
here?
So what would be the increase to 6.7? How much of an increase percentage-wise from last year's budget is that?
Well, I can give you the actual dollar amounts for that.
Okay.
So, yeah, and by the way, sir, this is all, like, on our website if you want to look into this further.
Okay. I was out of town for a while, so okay. I don't have access to the website.
All right. So, let's see. It's 6.2779. That's where we are right now. That at 95% collection rate, that's raising $7.963 million. What is proposed in the budget in this millage rate, that's would raise $8.4 million. And then going up to the number that's being discussed here, the 6.473, that's $8.558 million.
So you take the $8.5 million and divide it by 7 point something, and what percentage increase is that?
I'm sorry, I'm not following your math. The 7 point...
You said the last year's budget was 7.9 something, right?
No. The millage rate is 6.277.
No, I'm talking dollars now.
Oh, okay. The amount, the revenue, that's 7.9.
7.9, and now you're going to 8.7. Is that what you said?
Five.
So what percentage is that? I can do it on my phone if you want.
Sure. Go ahead.
8.7 divided by 7.9. It's a 10% increase. So you're basically asking for a 10% increase from last year's budget. That's pretty
significant. No, that
especially since inflation rate is 3.5%. Am I missing something here?
I think you might be. I have to interject if you don't mind.
Okay,
understand.
Well, let's back up. Okay, so what's being proposed here is a millage rate going up to 6.625. Okay?
Well,
some members of the council are talking about taking it up even more than that. Okay? So the budget that's been prepared was based on all the public meetings held to date, you know, and the needs identified by staff. Okay? So this was, we've had two budget workshops now where these have been discussed by the town council. We have asked them what their priorities are, what level of service they want to provide, and this is where we wound up. So at this point in the process, the council gets to pick a millage rate. It can't go any higher than that, whatever they pick, but it can always go down. You know, this is what the way every city does it in the state of Florida. That's just how the process works. It's not a final budget. This is a draft budget. So that's where we are right now.
So what you're asking for is a 10% increase from last year's budget.
No.
Am I doing the math right?
Yeah, I mean, that's roughly it.
No,
yeah.
That's not accurate.
No.
That's not accurate. Not 10%. Let me explain something to you, please. When we look at the budgeting process, built into the budgeting process is uncontrollable expenses that go up. This would be insurance for the city. You look at some of the items that are in the budget that we have absolutely no control over because of outside forces that force increased costs. That is going to be a part of that 5 to 7% that we're looking at. If you're looking at the discretionary things that we're looking at to improve the quality of life in Pond's Inlet, okay, you're probably looking at just half of that amount or less, okay?
I think the discretionary is
yeah, but is Steve, different. Let me make one comment I think will help you. We all said we need additional firefighters. Yes. We all said we need additional police officers. Yes. We had one new public works person last year. We added 8 total employees last year. Oh, excuse me, this year's budget. I'm sorry. This year's budget. It's going to cost for this year total. Understand, we did it halfway through the year. The cost of that, and don't, I'm going to round the numbers, okay? So don't get your calculator out, was like $350,000. It's what the total cost, their benefits, insurance, yada, yada, for 2024-25, a full year, that's over $700,000. So there's a huge chunk of what you're looking at in your head, like mine, but that's where a major chunk of this new budget is going to be setting.
$350,000 of that $700,000 was in the current year's budget.
That's correct.
So you're really asking only for $350,000 more.
$400,000. Because it was actually over. Let me get the exact numbers for you. That way it'll make you feel better. It was closer to 800, so I'm trying to be nice to you.
Well, I'll be nice into and say 400. You
know? Okay. So $400,000 of that one particular thing, Steve.
A 10% increase in the budget is significant. And I hear what you're saying about discretionary, but fixed cost insurance, I agree. Insurance is going up. But most of your other fixed costs, like your mortgage and everything, that's not going up. So insurance, sure, insurance goes up. But there's a lot of things that aren't going up. And I would venture to think that 75% is not an of the budget is not a significant increase. You know, yeah, I want the employees to get a 3 to 4% increase in their salary. That's great. You should get that. 10% is a lot. The reason I came here today is I heard a rumor that the council was considering helping communities with walkovers to the beach. And if that's a fact, that I have a community that built a new walkover this year, that I want to be considered part of that too. And that would be Los Olas. We built a walkover last year. I understand Harbor Village is looking for some money. And if Harbor Village gets some money, then I think Los Olas should too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes, Mr. Obeck.
Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive. When I hear my esteemed council member, Skip White, talk about a budget that we could live with, I could throw up. I'm tired of budgets that we can just live with. We need to invest in the town and the services that are provided to the citizens of this town. We seem to do things on the cheap. Again, we can live with it. I'm tired of talking to Public Works or other departments that are just getting by. We need to make the invest. We need to make the investment. Yes, it's a cost, but it is an investment, not just in this town structure, which I know we have some real structural issues to deal with, but invest in the people of this town. And the people in this town, I know if you did a survey, everyone would applaud the level of services that we get and want more of the same. Is that asking too much? I don't know. I respect Skip for challenging some of the items I would if I were looking at a budget, but also it is a budget. It doesn't necessarily reflect what you're going to spend, okay? So let's budget to ensure that we're covering all of the potential situations that come up regarding people or infrastructure, whatever it might be, so that we don't find ourselves during the course of the year scrambling to figure out where the hell are we getting that money now. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, can I respond to one thing, please? Can I respond to one thing?
If you would like to respond to please. Mr. Obeck?
Yes, Mr. Obeck. Understand, our budget right now that we're looking at is over $1 million more than this year. Also understand, have you gone through the budget line item by line item?
I have not.
Okay. So.
But I do understand that the increase for homestead properties would average around $250-some.
No.
Yeah, depending on the value of the house.
And Mark, you can come up to the podium if you'd like so we can go on the record more easily. So the increase in property value is what you were about to address.
Okay. Right. So yes. So again, that we're over $1 million.
Right.
Were you not one of the individuals that told me do not spend any effing money on that walkover for Harbor Village?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I think that's way out of.
Okay. Thank you. But that's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to go through each line item and make sure we're utilizing the funds properly. That's all I'm trying to do.
Absolutely.
So when you throw up, don't throw up on Jane. She's sitting in front of you.
Absolutely respect assessing every line item, okay? But I'd like a different perspective taken when you look at line items, and it's not can we live without it versus I'd like you to take the posture of look at what we get with it. And I'd rather have that position taken than the former. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, Ms. Davis.
I'd just like to, Barbara Davis, 4871 Sailfish Drive. I'd like to ditto everything Mr. Obecki said. And I would like to add that timing is everything. I mean, y'all can set the budget, and you have 2 months to add and subtract things. If Essential Services Board has gone through, and remember, these people are specific to their field, have gone through these items and recommend it, then that is something we really need to think about. And look at the timing of Chairman Brower coming here and Tom Rutledge explaining the impact of 2 storms and the potential that we have, the problems we have with that. We can't nickel and dime. This is the time to be prepared. So, you know, our property values went up an astronomical amount, $227,230. So that means a budget increase, even though we're homesteaded. So I'm not up here like saying, you know, the amount doesn't matter much. But the tax amount to me, like Mr. Obecki said, what do we get? We have a town hall right here. We have our own fire. We have our own police. We have our own staff. We have our own public works. A tree falls on a power line. Everybody is there. The fire department's taking it down. The police is stopping traffic. And public works has the backhoe there picking it up. That's what we're paying for. How much is that worth? If we're in a storm and a tree is across that road and it floods and we can't get out, how much is that worth? How much is that worth for us to have Mr. Shepherd here, who's the probably the most trustful attorney in the state that we can depend on, that if you ask him a question, he doesn't have to go through the machinations of, he just do it. You can do it, bottom line, done. We have Mr. Disher here. Look at the budget he has put together, the specifics, the visuals that he's given us. Chief Scales, where did you go? Look at that. He's everywhere. He is everything. We're doing everything. Chief Glazier, Steve, that's what I'm paying for. I'm paying for paradise. I'm paying for feeling safe in my community, for police officers. I'm paying for the best counsel. I don't mind that extra money because I'm safe. I'm protected. When I need help, it's there. If a water meter springs a leak, they're going to be there in 15 minutes. And you know what? Public Works, they're going to come and turn that water back on so I don't go, Ed, okay, hit it. And we blow a valve out, which is what happened to a man on Bounty Lane. How much do you pay for that service? Well, it cost him an awful lot to fix that bathroom and all the flooding. So that's what I'm looking at. And like Tom said, it's prevention, or Mr. Brower may have said that it's prevention. We're looking at preventative budget now. The things that your staff asked for, and these people have been here a long time, what they're asking for is what they need. It's what we need. So, I mean, you can't say, well, we're just going to cut that. I mean, like the first steps, do I want a homeless shelter? I'm sorry. I'm a little snobby, but, you know, I'll go to the food kitchen, but there's a line. I support them. But, you know, I love this community. I don't mind paying for it. And I can't, you know, people can't say, oh, well, you're not paying for it. Because we are. But look at the level of service we have, and you really cannot buy that. So I ditto Mr. Makabeki, except for the throw-up part.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm Rick Fees, 46 Ashley. And I just want to reiterate what was just said by the last two. And first of all, recognize the healthy debate and discussion that's going on here. That's necessary. You guys are doing diligence towards the process. It's not taking it lightly. I also agree. We need to get serious about things that are increasing in costs and evaluate the pros and cons on that. But we can't avoid the fact that there are changing costs. Skip, I have not looked at it line by line, so I'll get that out of the way first.
Yes, sir.
But one of the things that I would encourage, and I don't know how to take your comment about the people being hired halfway through the year, but that's a fixed cost that, you know, when we do that, I don't know if it wasn't in the budget last year and it just is an implication, but it should have, either we made a decision mid-year that would impact the budget, or we held off hiring somebody that was there. So
that was the way it was budgeted, because normally a lot of times when we're putting together a budget, they'll say, okay, I will not hire this department, will not hire this person until halfway into the year. So that was just an example, because I wanted to see what the overlay was of, okay, so for this 23-24, we had those 8 employees for half a year. So I wanted to see what the implication was for year over year, yeah, where I could try to start peeling back the $1,000,001 that we're looking at. I was trying to get my hands on where the money was going and how much are we spending for each additional headcount, each additional lease vehicle that we have in there. There's other things in there that we brought on midway through the year.
Right.
Budget-wise, but I want to see the implication of a full year. That's where that statement came
from. I guess my point is, as we go forward, that's a fixed cost that we need to plan for.
That's correct.
If we make similar decisions that are out there, we can't just say, well, gee, it was just a half a year. No, we need to make that decision now when we budget for a half a year, thinking for the following year that we're going to have that fixed cost again at an inflated rate.
That's in my closing statement for today.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Birch.
Charles Birch, 4670 Links Village Drive. I attended the two budget meetings that we had. And I wholeheartedly agree with Mr. White on this because there's a line item in there that I am vehemently opposed to. But I am in favor of all the rest of the things on there. Oh, I don't want the golf cart either, and I don't want the boat. But I want the dryer for the fire department. You have to prepare people. You have to supply people with the equipment that they need. You know, I always talk about safety, and I always want the people, the workers that are here, to be safe and to have the equipment they need to perform their jobs. And talking to Steve, we need a new front-end loader. A front-end loader is one of the most, in my experience as a heavy equipment person working for the city of New York, a front-end loader with the proper attachments, which means a clam bucket, a scissor bucket, a forklift attachment, those things are necessities after storms or even during storms to move objects that are blocking the roads, floods. A front-end loader does everything for you. It's more important than the dump truck that we bought, but we needed the dump truck because it was old and decrepit. So, and the reason why I want, and I am an opponent of the lower budget, because it takes out the line item that I'm vehemently opposed to. And you know that because I've written you five letters and made presentations and everything else about that issue. There is a loan that we have that's coming off the books next year. And I know it's not proper way of doing things, and Mr. Milano is vehemently against that because he made a mistake years ago in taking money out of reserves to do things. But there is a $300,000 loan that's coming off. We make a $300,000 payment every year, which can replenish any one of those things that you choose to buy out of reserves. I know that's not the right way to do things, but I'm so opposed to this one thing that that's my suggestion on how to handle it, because you can always, unless you have something that you're planning for the $300,000 next year that we're going to get, that we're not going to have to pay. It seems like, I agree with Mr. White. I want, because that takes out that, and then you can pay anything else you want and take it out of reserves, and then you can replenish the reserves with the $300,000. That's my point. I want equipment for our workers. Ms. Davis is right. You need something, especially homeowners. They're there. They're willing to help. They're ready to help. They need equipment. They need the personal. You need three things to do something when a tree is in the street. You need the tree in the street. You need equipment, and then you need people power to run the equipment. The front end loader is one of the most necessary things you need. I talked to Sergeant Rudd. He was so happy that he got a new truck. And then one of the reasons why, not only because it's his office and he sits in that truck 12 hours a day, but it's a versatile piece of equipment. He explained to me that on the weekends when nobody's around, that when he needs a barrier or a cone or something because there's a situation in the street, he doesn't have to go back to the building, switch trucks to get a barrier out to the location. He can just throw the barrier in the back of the truck. And that's what we should be looking at, is supplying them with the right equipment and versatile pieces of equipment that they can use, and they don't have to waste time rectifying a situation. Again, I'd like to buy everything that's on there. If you go to the high mark and the low mark, the check marks are what you can get for a certain amount of money. The high mark is you get everything on that list, except for the golf cart, except for the boat, which would be manned by overtime, and except for Harbor Village's request for money for something that doesn't support disabled people. There's not one ramp up and down this whole town for a disabled person to get to the beach. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to comment?
Mayor, if I could address, I do need to make a correction on that.
Yes, so of course.
The town hall payment, that's coming out of the land acquisition fund, and that does not affect the millage rate. That money comes from basically franchise fees that we get, and it is restricted to public facilities, acquiring real estate, and the payment of any, you know, kind of design and legal expenses that go into that. So that is restricted.
I have 27 seconds. I asked you about that before, and you told me that it was coming off the books. You didn't explain to me that it was coming out of
right.
the land
it's,
acquisition.
Yeah, that's, I answered the question.
But you also told me that that's coming off the books, and then the following year there's another loan payment
stormwater,
that's coming off the books.
The stormwater payment, correct.
Okay, so again, I know it's not the right way to do things. It's just a way to get around it. You set the budget at the low rate. It takes out those things, and you buy what you need, and you pay for it later, which is not right. But anyhow.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Any further comments? Because, oh.
Yes, I do. Okay, I give. What I mean by that is I hear you. I apologize for being frugal is probably the best word. But sometimes it takes me to hear things from more people and not just the council, so please don't take that wrong, but also to get out my little trusty calculator. So here's my proposal. Let's go to the 6.7473, which is the max for supermajority vote, and let the council and let the town staff have at it. Bring it back. We're only talking from where Bill was originally talking about, or where we were originally on from Tuesday's meeting. Rephrase that. We were at 6.6250. We're talking $163,295 if we go all the way up between where we ended Tuesday to the supermajority. And Michael, if my calculation's wrong, you can tell me, but I'd say it's pretty close. So I'm good. I hear it. I listen to you. So that's my suggestion. Go to max.
Thank you, Councilman. In that case, would you like to make the motion?
I'll make a motion.
Oh, all right.
No, I would.
Yeah.
You want to do it?
Hey, if I'm going to sit here and take the beating, brother, I'm gonna do the motion, okay?
I love this job.
Thank you, I do too. And I do love you guys. I hope you know that. Sometimes it's a little hard for me, and I did get called hard-headed the other day, and you know I was like, really? Me? Hard-headed? This was like, I only hear it like every 32 seconds from Jane, so anyway.
I had to say that,
Mayor. So I would like to make a motion that we, how am I going to phrase? Let me say how to phrase this. Okay, I'd like to make a motion to approve, nope, can't do that. I'd like to make a motion for the budget for 24-25 be based on a proposed millage rate of 6.7473 to move forward.
Or lower.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
White?
Yes.
Milano?
Yes.
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 A very nice yes. We finally got through this process for the 14th time for me. Thank you all.
You're welcome.
And I want to thank each and every council member because I know how hard we each worked. I want to thank the staff, our manager, and all the department heads and everybody who worked. And I really want to thank the public. Because I don't want any of you to ever think, any of you, that what you say falls on deaf ears. It doesn't. We're listening to you. We're not at the end of it yet. Please give us the opportunity to work our way through this. And I think when we get to the end of this, it'll be satisfactory and in the best interests of the residents and of the town itself. So thank you, everybody.
And, Mayor, if I could jump in. Yeah, thank you, first of all, Council. We will come back with a budget for you to look at. Unless you want to have another workshop, you'll see it again at the first reading okay, the first reading in September. And meanwhile, members of the audience and the public, if you have any questions of us, you can always ask. The best way, we'll just say what we did last year, we would get emails from the public, we would answer those, and then we would post the answers on the website so everyone can see. If you go back on our website, you can either just search for budget or it's posted under the town manager section. So if you want to go there, you can see what we did last year. Our goal is to have all the presentations, all the minutes, all the memos up there for everyone to see. So please feel free.
Thank you, Mike. We are up to agenda item 12A, request to approve piggyback contract with Sunrise Consulting Group. Mike?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, at last month's meeting, the council discussed or expressed a desire to hire our government affairs consultant for a full 12 months, starting as soon as possible. So we were able to get this contract. It's a piggyback contract with the city of Palm Bay, which means they've already gone through the competitive bidding process for that. We were able to get permission from the city of Palm Bay to utilize this contract for our purposes, and then also with Sunrise Consulting Group to use the rate that they had previously quoted us for that. So we're requesting your approval.
Thank you, Mike. We've discussed this item, the purpose, the proposed terms. Now, is there any additional discussion by council on this?
None.
Anyone in the public wish to comment or ask us any questions with respect to this item? Okay, seeing none, then we'll entertain a motion. Anyone?
I make a motion that we approve the piggyback contract with the Sunrise Consulting Group at the $3,000 per month, starting effectively immediately.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And thank you. I'm very excited to continue to work with our lobbying firm. The next item is Ponce Inlet Business Hours and Vision Statement. Mike?
Yes, thank you. Last month, we received an email from a resident who questioned whether the town should have hours that all businesses have to close and whether the lack of having that was consistent with the town's vision statement. The resident suggested also the town may want to poll the residents or have survey to see if people's idea of the vision statement is the same as when it was created, and that was back in 2002. The vision statement as it's laid out now is really what the town's comprehensive plan was built around, and that's making sure that development is compatible with the residential character of the community, preserving landscape trees and historic character. As it turns out, there are really not that many limits on business hours in Ponce Inlet. In fact, there's only four that are listed in the entire code. That's farmers markets, we have mobile food vendors, also known as food trucks, pain management clinics, and rave clubs. I don't know when we've ever had a rave club here, but we have a full set of regulations for them and hours they have to close. Other than that, there's no closure time on businesses per se. Now, there are limited hours of different kinds of activities, such as construction, sale of alcohol, sales and deliveries, and then soliciting or canvassing. The town codes also have noise ordinance, which also serve and work hand-in-hand with those prohibitions on activities between residential and commercial uses. Really, this is presented for your information. If the council wants to look at these, we can start perhaps with addressing things in the codes. If the town wants to go further with that and having a visioning exercise, I would just say that the last time this was done, it involved months of public comment and hearings and workshops to build that vision. That was truly an effort of the entire community. And if the council wants to do that, you can either start over from the beginning, maybe update it, but that usually requires some sort of consultant to do it right. You want to have bring in someone to really guide that exercise. And as of right now, that's not in our budget.
Mike, I want to thank you for this because when I read through it and also the email of the resident, what appears to me, and this is just my opinion now, is that this is not an issue involving the vision statement. The The issue is more whether our ordinances or lack of ordinances are aligned with the vision statement itself. And we seek to ensure the well-being and the tranquility of our community while protecting public interests, and we don't want to arbitrarily interfere with businesses or impose unusual or unnecessary restrictions on unlawful operations. But I think that the resident concerns